Welcome to the Nobody Guide to Life, where we provide tips and tools for personal growth, personal development, and your spiritual journey that you can use right now in your everyday life. I'm J.A. Plosker. You can always find out more at thenobodyguidetolife.com. Thank you for joining us. So who am I? What am I here for? Why do I keep falling into the same patterns? If you're like me, you've asked yourself these questions a lot, and we ask them because they matter. They help us define our life and our goals, and they influence how we relate to people. But they're hard questions because they force us to examine ourselves day after day. They require us to dig deep and have the courage to embrace our challenges, identify our strengths, and commit to positive change. And that's not always easy. But today's guest has a plan to help you understand the language your soul is speaking so you can better translate it into the life you want. Jennifer Arezio started her career in corporate America as a media relations specialist. Now, she's a master intuitive author, teacher, and speaker. She founded Soul's Language in response to her intuitive senses and ability to help others feel better about themselves. She specializes in helping people connect to themselves, to each other, and to the divine. She founded a new paradigm, Soul Language, which provides guidance for understanding our true nature and tools for accessing deeper levels of awareness. Her modalities of strength includes soul language, essential oils, kinesiology, and pranic healing. She's the author of A Little Book of Prayers and Soul Language, Consciously Connecting to Your Soul for Success. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here. When you wrote to me, the soul language, and I saw that name and I saw your background in corporate America, and I'm always so interested in that. I'm always so interested in how people who started off in the corporate structure made the jump off into the soul, to this idea of intuition. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey from corporate America to intuitive healer?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So okay. You know, when you know that there's something bigger inside of you, you just don't know it, right? So yes. I'm in corporate America and I'm not allowed to talk to clients because I tell them the truth. but the media loved me because I would tell them the truth. And so I, you know, was so good at my job that I kind of kept writing my own job description, and I would do certain things and not do certain things. And I was working with my best friend for her company, and we had this international known coach. And at that time I was taking master classes and in tapping into your intuition. And I was had a bath and body company where I would create personal bath and body products for people. And we were on the phone for about 2 hours, and I was counseling her on her relationship with her daughter. And when I got off the phone, I looked at my best friend, Erin, and she goes, "Did you?" And I go, "Yeah, because that's going to end badly." She fired us 2 weeks later. And she fired us because she cited me. I didn't know anything about her or her business, and I just didn't get her. Well, I did. I just saw beyond the curtain, and she didn't like it. And I know. And I turned to Erin and I said, "I think I'm going to do this freelance hour because it's going to keep happening." And I said, "I'm going to do it in 3 months." And in the meantime, I attended as a speaker a conference on life purpose. And I was talking about a life purpose and essential oils. And I got off the platform and people were lined up to talk to me. And I didn't really know why. They're like, "Can you tell me about my guides and teachers? Can you help me with this? Can you help me with that?" And I was like, "Sure." So, and at that conference, I heard the beginnings of what is now soul language, and that's another story for another moment. But so I come back and she's like, "Oh, okay, so you know, you're going freelance tomorrow." And I go, "What?" She goes, "Oh, I've made plans." She didn't make any plans, but that was the kind of lovely, in love, you know, amazing, you know, push that I needed from, you know, my best friend. And I started then taking on clients. And I did freelance for a while. But what I noticed is on those days where I had to do PR, I was miserable. I was crying at my desk. I was angry. I was, you know, really hard to get along with. I didn't understand why marbles were so important. You know, if we were pitching marbles, you know, I didn't understand why, you know, we're not we're not doing world peace here, you know? And so I became really mad. And so I sat down with myself and with the divine, and I said, okay, listen, we got to work this out. And two things happened. One, I got a client of my own for PR, which was $25,000. And right? $25,000 could keep you sustained for a while as you did your business, right? So I took on that, and that was my last client. And then I got another one for like the same amount, and I turned it down.
Wow.
And then I started really bringing in business as a spiritual coach. But, you know, I would like to say it was a straight line, but it really wasn't. It was a curvy path. And what I didn't know, or I really wasn't aware of, was I was utilizing all of my gifts and talents in corporate America. I was the answer girl. They would come all over the office and go, Jen, do you know about blah, blah, blah? And I'd be like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And they would go off and they would research it, and they would come back and they would go, how did you know that? I was like, I don't know. Or, you know, I would tell my team, call that person on the list for, you know, this pitch. They come back and they'd be like, oh my God, they booked it. And I'd be like, uh-huh. And I didn't know how I was doing it. I was just doing it. And, you know, I was joking around with my boyfriend Warner a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I was saying how, you know, in corporate America, I wasn't allowed to talk to speak the truth. And now I get paid to listen and help people uncover and speak their truth. So it's a wonderful turnaround of events. But I have to tell you, that corporate experience was a really great training ground. I mean, I have great customer service because of it. I, you know a bunch of information about a bunch of things. I have a lot of great contacts and a lot of great, you know, support that I can reach out to. And because I kind of grew up in that marketing and PR business, I talk in sound bites and I hear in sound bites. And I think that was a gift all along. It just honed that gift. But so when a client goes, here's what I do. And I go, I know you said that, but I think you meant this. And they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, they're like, how do you do that? I was like, I just hear it all in my head. So it allowed me to do a lot of fun things. It allowed me to meet, you know, some really great people and some really supportive people. And, you know, when I was in it, I hated it. I never want to go back. I'm being very clear with the universe. But it's an experience I would never give up.
Well, it's interesting that you said that that was kind of the proving ground for these gifts that you have. Were these gifts that you've remembered having through your whole life, or do they really blossom when you were working in the corporate world?
They were gifts I had all my life. I think when you start to utilize a gift and a talent, it starts to blossom and it just builds and you get more gifts and talents, right? And then I started taking classes about understanding how that connection comes in and what my intuition looks like and how is it interpreted, right? Because you have to understand that it's your database, right? And how do you interpret that database? Because what your intuition is going to give you as information is much different, right? My intuition talks in movies and, you know, sci-fi and like Star Trek references, because that's my database, right?
Right.
So I think, you know, I remember in high school, you know, my dad coming, my parents were divorced, and my dad coming to pick us up, and he walked in. I was like, great grandmother died. And he's like, did your mom tell you? And I was like, no. And it was out of my mouth before I even knew what I was saying. There was right? So, you know, in those, and it still happens, like I'll say something, I'll be like, I don't even know how to do my life. Like, it wasn't even a thought in my head. It's so in the zone that I can't even consciously tell you how it happened.
Wow.
And it tends to be always with close family when it happens.
Right.
Like, how'd you do that? And I'm like, So I've had it all of my life. I just didn't know. And I think anyone has intuition. It's just a matter of using it. You know, but I know my mom's very intuitive. I know my grandmother was very intuitive. So I know it's something that runs in our family. I know my nephews are. We went to Thanksgiving dinner, and my nephew Liam's like, so you went to Germany? And my mom's like, no, they just got back from Barcelona. He goes, no, they went to Germany. And I was like, Mom, we stopped in Germany. That's where our plane, we changed flights. I was like, we were in Germany, right? So it's about like really understanding how to use it and foster it and then paying attention to it. Right. I think a lot of us don't pay attention to our intuition.
Right. And I think that's a great point. You know, we talk a lot about that on the show, but, you know, because I've asked guests before, do we all have this ability? And they're very quick to say, absolutely. It's just, it's learning to sift through the noise. I always think about panning for gold, where you scoop up a huge piece of the riverbed and then you sift the rocks out looking for those gold nuggets. And I think sometimes we have a hard time finding those nuggets in all of the noise. And we always talk about social media and constantly being plugged in. And we really have to get quiet and listen so that we can really hear what's being said. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, is that what you advise clients about?
Yeah, like, I believe that there's sacred practice time where you do have to sit and have a conversation. And yes. Then I think there's walking sacred practice. I think it's really about understanding, you know, the chatter versus guidance.
Yes.
So, you know, guidance never feels like chatter in my head. And there's so many times where I just get guidance and I go, no, I'm smarter than you. So my best example, because it's so vivid, is like 10 years ago, I'm at the airport. And up until this point, me and airports, it's always an experience of expansion, right? So my wallet is on the, you know, counter with the, you know, I'm checking in and it's blinking at me. I'm like, I don't have time to listen to you now. Like, I got to get through security. I've got all this stuff. Like, I don't have time. So it blinks. I'm like, listen, I don't have time. So I go through security. This had to be, you know, before 9/11, because you didn't need your ID. So I go through security and I'm passing this water, you know, the little water station, and the water bottle's blinking at me, buy me. I'm like, I have water in my purse. I don't need you. And it's blinking. I was like, fine. So I go into my purse and my wallet is back on the counter. And the funny thing is that when I get back there, which everything was there and it was totally safe, the woman's like, we've been calling you for half an hour. Have you not heard? And I'm
interesting.
Like, no. And you know, that it's, I think we tend to have these amazing minds where we know better.
Right.
And so, you know, I knew better. I knew what I had to accomplish. Like, I'm not going to pause and listen to my wallet, you know, and there's so many examples of, you know, Jennifer knows better in my life where I go, oh, that's what that meant. And so, you know, I've taken to pausing a little more and going, okay, what's happening here? You know, and sometimes I just so in it that I don't even question it. I remember being in Paris with my mom and we were waiting on line for metro tickets. And I took her and I moved her and myself towards the wall. So we were leaning on the wall. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know why, but we need to stand here now. And this woman had just, with her four daughters, just put all of their ticket money for the entire month through the little slot. And these hooligans came and stole it right out of the slot.
Wow.
And if we were there, we would have gotten trampled.
Right.
Right. And so I've learned to really trust that. I've learned to build trust with it even more. I've learned to ask questions. I think a lot of people are afraid to listen to their soul because they're afraid of what those answers will be. And right. They forget that they can ask more questions and go, okay, you know what? I can't really do that right now. What's the first step? I think because the soul's going to give you the biggest picture it has. And most people can't get to that big picture right away.
Well, that's an interesting segue then, because this idea of soul language. Now, you say that the soul is speaking with us and that we have to translate it, listen to it, and it can guide us. Tell me a little bit about your book and this idea of soul language. What are soul languages? How do they work in our lives? What does that mean?
So each one of us has three core energies of soul. We call them languages. So you have one language or one core energy in three different categories.
Okay.
Your mission, how you fuel that mission, and then your soulful personality. And what that really means is how your soul prefers to go through life. So when you understand your three core energies or your three languages, you understand how you're utilizing your soul consciously or how you're just utilizing your ego and pattern.
Okay.
And what happens when someone has their languages identified, I can give a one-liner to every soul on this planet. And that becomes your mild marker of consciousness. So A, you've got now a clear way to create a conscious connection with yourself to ask questions and to listen. You know when you're expressing your soul unconsciously, because there's a formal definition, or when you're doing it consciously. And you have tools to and words to put what you know deep down inside. So when I identified my own soul languages, my soulful personality language is called Graceful Warrior. And all of my life, I was at war with everything. Like I would ask for a pen and people are like, why are you so aggressive? I'm like, really? Because I just asked for a pen. And, you know, and I think the moment that I really understood that graceful warrior is, I never have to take out my soul. You know, my community, and I joke around that I can, you know, swear at someone in my pass the butter voice and you don't know I'm swearing at you, right? It's when I really understood that deep sense of grace, my life changed completely. I mean, in a huge way. I was no longer angry. I no longer, you know, felt like the world was against me. I found a community that loved and supported me. And I remember the moment that I was totally in alignment with that energy of my soul. Because I was sitting outside at a coffee place and it was crowded. And this guy goes, can I sit down here? And I was like, sure. And we started talking. And I said, oh, you know, I have warrior energy. And he went, that's really cool. And inside I was like doing the dance, like, oh my God, look, I healed it. Yay. Like,
yes. You know?
And the thing is that we're always going deeper. We're always turning more so towards soul. But the soul languages and understanding your soul languages gives you a tangibility to know to what you know deep down inside. So you can create a conscious connection with it. So you can utilize that and you can utilize it anything from in your marketing to, you know, connecting with a mate. It's, and what I love about soul language and the paradigm of soul language is that unlike other paradigms, it's conscious, it's moving, it's being updated. I just reminded me of something I had to do. Right. So it's constantly being updated and growing because we're all growing in consciousness. So there's a mission language called negotiator, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Right.
Consciously, they negotiate for themselves and others in grace and everyone wins. Unconsciously, top line, which means in struggle, they're either stampling and stampeding over everyone, or they're negotiating, you know, their life and they're not included in the negotiations. Well, for so long, that energy overall was operating unconscious.
Right.
And so we would, because now I teach soul language to other people to utilize in their sacred work. So the practitioners would get together and we would kind of bitch about negotiators. Like, ah. We just identified another negotiator. We know what it's going to be. And, you know, as we grew in consciousness, what happened was that energy kept choosing consciousness. And so in body, people started choosing consciousness. And I knew that the moment that energy totally changed, when we started receiving soul language practitioners with the negotiator soul language. And so it's really interesting to see how we expand and how we grow in consciousness and how our individual energies do that as well. So soul language simply puts tangibility to your soul so you can create a conscious connection so you can harness that greatness of you and express it fully and completely rather than operating on pattern.
Is soul language something we're born with, Jennifer? I mean, is this, does it, you said it changes, but is it like,
Expands and changes. Your language never changes.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
That would be really confusing if one day you were a pioneer and the next day you were an observer, which are all mission languages. No, this lifetime they don't change, but the consciousness of it change. So think of it as when you become more conscious, think of it, you're instead of having a glass of cloudy water, you have a glass of clear water.
Okay.
Okay. And so the more you choose consciousness, the less you're operating from pattern. And so the more you're what they call in the flow.
Right. Okay. Okay. So give me an example then. If somebody were to come to you for your services or to have a session with you, what would it look like? How would you identify their soul languages? How would that look person to person?
So we do that through something called therapeutic kinesiology, which is muscle testing. So your body has this natural divinity about it. And if we ask it a yes or no question that it knows about, not if you're going to win the lotto, because your body doesn't know that. But if we ask it, you know, is chocolate in your greatest good, it will give us a yes or no response.
Right.
What we do is something called therapeutic kinesiology, which means that my body tests on that soul's behalf. And it's a one-time energetic connection. You don't have to be in person. I've done close to 5,000 IDs. I've never met most of them.
Right.
And so what happens is in that connection, your soul would move my body down a testing sheet. And that's how we identify the soul languages. So I can't throw the testing and you can't throw the testing. right. You know, those testings where you have to fill out the multiple choice, right? Anyone can throw that, especially smart people. They're like, I know I'm supposed to answer C, right? So, you know, so it can't be thrown. It's, you have to go to a soul language practitioner and there's a certification process. And so that's how we identify the soul languages. So, a soul language session would start with the identification process. Then I would tell you about each of the definitions or each of your core energies.
Okay.
And then we would do some transformational work, which looks like teaching you how to set up a one-on-one connection. And then taking something real life that you want to expand or a situation that might be challenging and talking to your soul and transforming that energy around it. So you feel different and you create different experiences. So what I hear time and time again is, oh my God, are you in my head? what I love, I've been called liquid nitrogen for the soul. and what happens is that we get a lot done very quickly because we're working with the energetics of the soul. And so God, universe, tree, Bob, cupcake, whatever you want to call that, is doing the heavy lifting. Where, you know, traditional therapy, you know, relies too much on the human part to do the transformation. And we kind of like where we are, you know, we know what that looks like. It's safe to us. And so when we utilize the soul to transform, things move fairly quickly.
Wow. And so once you've identified that, so basically, once people understand their soul energies, it gives them a new way of relating to the world. How does it look in the real world? Like, so, say somebody was starting a business and they came to you and they knew their soul languages. How would knowing those languages help them to set up and run their business?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we also can identify the soul of the business as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And entrepreneurs, your soul and your business are not the same thing. So stop treating your business like it's you. It's really not. And very rarely do anyone have languages in common with their personal soul or their business soul. But just from a pure knowing your soul languages on a personal level. So one of the things that's really clear for me is that my mission language is called equalizer. It's all about creating that perfect formula of balance for myself and others.
Right.
So I know that people are instantly going to feel more imbalanced when they talk to me. Right? I know that people are instantly going to trust me because I'm a graceful warrior and they trust the warrior. I also know from understanding my soul that my community are going to be a little warrior and they're going to be a little tough and they're going to be strong, and they're going to feel not so comfortable being vulnerable.
Right.
And I know all of that because that's me.
Right.
I also can use all of that language in marketing. You know, it also allows me to be really clear about what I want, you know, in my personal life and with my business.
Right.
So when I first started my business about 11 years ago, and this was before we were IDing the business languages, I was at my computer. It was a 17-hour day, and I was crying. And I was like, okay, this is not cool. I should talk to my soul. And I talked to my soul, and my equalizer part of my soul said, what are you doing? Why are you so warrior?
Right.
Like, there's no balance here. You need balance. And I went, oh, you're right. And I got it. And so the moment I started creating more balance, the moment the business expanded.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So it's really powerful. So it's like learning. It is truly like learning another language. The more you work with that language, the more words you learn, the more efficiently you can get around in a foreign country and feel comfortable.
Exactly. And the more you understand what you're putting into the relationship field with everything. And since we're in a relationship field with everything on this planet, if you keep putting in your pattern and your lack and you're not enough, that's what you're going to get out of moving the God goo, right? Yeah. So when you put consciousness in, it's going to react that way. And it kind of, when you talk about it, it's fairly simple. The practice of it, you know, it's a practice,
yes,
right? But it's kind of, and it's so funny because this is a giant game of life, right? We move our little car and we spin and we decide which way we want to go. And I think people don't understand that this is a giant game of fun we get to participate in.
Right.
And that understanding, that connection and being in tune with yourself is your rule book.
Right.
It, you know, it's the major cheat sheet of winning the game.
I love that. So, okay. So on that note, I'm going to ask you the question then that I ask all our guests. So at this game of life we're all playing, what's a tip or tool based on your knowledge of soul languages that you can give us right now that we can use as soon as this podcast ends on our journeys of personal and spiritual growth?
I love it. So I always like for the divine to do the heavy lifting. Okay. And one of the things I love to do is utilize your body's divine intelligence to activate or put you in a consciousness, even if you've never experienced it before.
Okay.
And so I think, you know, what I tell my clients, when you don't know kind of what to pray for, what to treat for, or what to shift,
right,
you always move into safety. And so I'm going to teach you how to put yourself into the consciousness of safety. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay. So everyone, your job is to get on the bus with me, meaning I'm going to use words that you might not understand. Just allow your body to do what it wants to do. Ready?
Ready.
Divine intelligence, place me in the consciousness of knowing and accepting that I am safe. What happened over there?
Do you want me to say, repeat what you said, or do you want me to tell you my experience?
I want you to tell me your experience.
Well, it was just interesting listening to you, because then you stopped and everything kind of went blank. There was really no chatter in my head. I wasn't wondering what you were going to say next. It was just kind of dark, which was interesting.
Hey, you were totally put in present time.
Yeah. It was like a pause. It was very interesting.
Yeah. So imagine if you reacted all the time from that void of creation.
Right, right.
You'd be making decisions based on knowing that you're whole and complete.
Wow. Wow.
Cool, right?
Yes, it's very cool. Instead of looking to fill the void, you just kind of live in it and allow life to unfold. That's very, very interesting. Everybody listening, rewind and try that again.
Yeah. And as you keep doing it, right, as you keep practicing it, when you have a challenge, instead of going right into pattern, you're going to have a lovely foundation of knowing you're safe. Wow. And I always like my clients to be in the consciousness of neutrality. So when we're in that consciousness of neutrality, we really understand that challenges are not a reflection of our essential nature. Meaning, if I have a challenge today, it's not because I'm unworthy, it's just because it's a challenge. And that is also the consciousness of where all the doors start to open. So when, you know, I think so many of us try to be in the consciousness of gratitude or the consciousness of love. Well, that's a huge jump if you're in the consciousness of fear, right? While neutrality is not that big of a jump. So if you maintain a consciousness of neutrality, then the jump to love and compassion and generosity is an easier jump. And things are always in the flow in neutrality rather than if you're in the consciousness of fear. So safety puts you in the consciousness of neutrality.
Wow. I love that. Thank you for that. And that powerful moment there brings us to the end of this episode of the Nobody Guide to Life. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And I want to remind our listeners, if you believe we have a soul, then maybe it's not so hard to believe that it speaks to you, sends you messages, guides you on your way. Maybe all we need to do to discover our passions and our best selves is to tune into the soul's whisper and translate its guidance into positive change. You can find out more about Jennifer and her wonderful work at soullanguage.us, her books, Soul Language, Consciously Connecting to Your Soul for Success, and A Little Book of Prayers, are available on her website and on Amazon. The links will be in our show notes. And you can always check out more episodes at thenobodyguidetolife.com. Reach out to us on Twitter and Facebook at Nobody's View, or now on Instagram at J.A. Plosker, or join our Facebook community, Simple Spirituality. If you liked what you heard on this episode, please consider sharing it with someone you know. Keep practicing and have a good week.